Welcome back to another episode of Sword Sophisticated, the podcast where culture, curiosity, and chaos collide. I'm your host, Pete, here with my much more competent and controlled co-host,
I don't know about that.
I just wanted to use C's.
Okay, fair.
Because curiosity, chaos, collide, all that. Yeah. I'm just going to rip the band-aid. We're going to start right away with why am I here at 10:30 in the morning? Like, what is this? What is happening? Why am I recording any podcast early? I can't drink. I'm uncomfortable. I'm frustrated. Why did I have to make adjustments for you? This is terrible.
Some of us have jobs.
Jobs, man. We got a lot of jobs. This is your job. This is your job. What are you talking about? Sort of Sophisticated is a job.
It is. It's a lot of work. That is absolutely. You do a lot of work.
We both do a lot of
work. I don't. It's not true.
For such limited payback. Okay.
We digress.
We totally do. Believe it or not, I'm excited.
You're always excited.
We're doing a cool episode today.
Okay.
No, because sometimes I like them, sometimes
okay,
I don't.
What is it?
This is a cool one. We're doing a sports episode because I looked back. We haven't done a sports episode in like forever.
I like sports.
Like a long, long time.
I'm here for it.
Are you a baseball fan?
Yeah. Yes. We go to the Angels games. I root for the Angels.
Yeah, let's go.
We end our season really early. So, I mean.
They're going to win it all this year. This is it.
So I guess, do I follow baseball? Yes.
Yes, I do. Yeah. So actually, it's kind of a big deal because I think opening day is tomorrow, or like really close.
Oh.
So it's happening. And
it makes sense.
Yeah.
We're almost in April.
But we can't go to an Angel game because they're away. So we can't go to the home opener.
Oh, yes, yes.
Until like
yes.
whatever it is.
It's April like 3rd. April 3rd or 4th.
Yes. Should we get tickets? Let's go. What's happening?
Okay. Let's go. Take it on the road.
Opening day. It's so good. Okay.
So we're doing an episode on baseball.
So sort of. I'm just excited about baseball, but you know me with the twists and the whole thing like that.
Yeah.
So actually, we're going to talk about baseball without really talking about baseball. Does that make sense?
No.
I can tell by your face. It makes absolutely zero sense. Because, listen, here's the deal. We're sort of sophisticated. What are we going to do? Teach people baseball? Nobody gives a shit. Nobody wants to learn this. Nobody cares.
Okay, fine.
Right? Everybody, there's a bunch of nerds. They already have like SiriusXM and you could listen to baseball 24/7. Okay. Like we're not doing that at all. We have a different angle.
What's your twisty twist?
Our angle is... Let me do official title first, and you'll figure this out. Okay. The official title is The Most Romantic Sport in America, Why Baseball Feels Like a Love Story.
I think you're on crack.
No. Why do you say that? No.
What?
It is totally romantic. You don't believe me?
I don't think baseball's very romantic at all. It's boring.
I am going to spend the next 30 minutes trying to convince you.
Okay.
That baseball is romantic.
All right.
Trust me.
Here we go.
Okay.
I mean, I don't doubt you and your little Jedi mind tricks, but...
Can I just start with this? Didn't you and Trent ever go to baseball games before you had kids and just like sit there and make out?
No.
Okay, yeah, no. Me and Gabby didn't do that either. I'm uncomfortable now. Okay, anyway, that's not one of the reasons why it's
romantic. You were the people that I threw popcorn at and be like, stop sucking face. Pay attention to the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry. But that's not one of the reasons.
I'm still a little perplexed on how you're going to pull this off, but you're basically trying to convince me that you're going to tell me how baseball is romantic.
Yes, I am.
And this somehow makes us more cultured and curious.
Yes, it does. Because who wants to just learn about regular baseball? Let's just start with that, because that is not going to make us more cultured and curious. But learning why it's romantic is
right. But you were just making out with Gabby the whole time, so
it's so much bigger than that. Okay,
like
this isn't even about baseball. Like I told you, this is so much bigger than sports. This transcends sports. This is about summertime. This is about nostalgia. This is about the breeze blowing in the sky overhead and the sun setting. This is a big deal. This is the good old days.
Just, like,
this is
the bygone days. No.
Listen. I mean, this is where I take my kids all the time when they were like growing up. Don't you take your kids?
I do. It's true.
Right. This is where grandpas take grandbabies. This is where like boyfriends and girlfriends go. This is what people propose. This is like a big... Listen, okay? Some of the best dad advice I ever gave to my kids was sitting at a baseball game where they were eating cotton candy and like all their Cracker Jacks and crap. And I was getting dad advice and they didn't even know I was giving dad advice because they were just having fun at a baseball game.
Okay.
So I get the idea that maybe that's not romantic. I'm telling you how it's teaching us about culture. It's American culture.
Okay.
When you think of American culture, what do you think of? Baseball, apple pie. Isn't that like I think it's a motto of America. It's like baseball and apple pie. It's as American as baseball and apple pie, right? That's romantic. That's culture. And that is all you need to know.
Okay, fine. What's our word of the week?
Our word of the week.
Yep.
Our word of the week is besmirch.
Besmirch.
B-E-S-M-I-R-C-H. Besmirch.
Huh.
Uh-huh. It's a verb. Me and Gabby used to besmirch.
Oh, no. Take it away. Take it back.
Yeah. No, it actually means to damage someone's reputation by saying something bad about them, usually in public.
Huh. Okay.
Besmirch.
That's a good one.
Comes from the old English word smirch, meaning to smear or stain. like putting a dirty mark on something that used to be clean.
Okay.
All right. So that tracks. Basically probably what I do to you. I besmirch you.
Well, here we go.
I besmirch you on this microphone all the time.
All right. So before you then go and besmirch baseball.
Yeah, that doesn't count. New rule. You can't use the word in the first 20 seconds after we say the word. New rule.
It's great.
I just made it up. Done.
My ADHD doesn't.
No,
like,
done. You have to find. You have to figure out how to put it in somewhere else.
Fine. Whatever. How are we going to start this thing?
Okay. I have like 4 or 5 big major topics we're going to talk about on convincing you how this is going to be romantic. But I think we should probably do like a very fast, true to our podcast, history of baseball in like 20 seconds or less. So everybody knows like where it came from.
Okay.
Can we do that?
Let's go.
And then we'll go. Okay. Yep. So, fun fact, if you remember our cricket episode, baseball actually came from cricket.
Yeah, we just wanted to be like, I smite thee. And
it was also, we didn't want to sit around for 5 days and watch a cricket
match. Well, that's true.
Wanted it to be like a lot shorter. And still, we both complain that baseball is boring and takes too long. But yet, here we are. So it started in the streets of New York. Believe it or not.
Streets of New York. Okay.
Don't quote me on streets of New York. It started in New York.
I didn't know that. They were
coming up with different ways to like make the game faster and so on and so forth. And then by like 1845, some dude named Alexander Cartwright basically was the guy who wrote down the rules.
Okay.
And he was like, this is it. So they sort of took what was some different versions of baseball. And then Alexander Cartwright was like, yeah, enough. Wrote them all down. And officially in 1845, he, quote, is the guy who invented baseball.
That's super random.
There we go, right?
Like, but that's how all good things start. Organically. Here we go.
And weird history tie-in, because I love doing that kind of weird, like, how long ago it was. John Adams was still alive.
Oh, that's crazy.
And was watching when they invented baseball. The second president of the United States. Like, guy who followed, like, George Washington.
That's crazy.
So that's, like, how old baseball is. And then, like, you connect baseball right up till today. And it's, like, all of a sudden, history is
alive. So really what you're saying is, like, in the DNA of America.
It is. Absolutely. Yeah. Which is why I think it's important. And we have to learn about it because it makes us cultured. If we want to be Americans,
then we
got to know a little bit about it. And like I said, nobody really wants to know how to play baseball. That's why I'm doing the whole romantic thing.
Yeah, I'm still stuck on the romantic
thing. We're going to get there. It's going to be totally fine. Yeah. Okay. So rules real quick for anybody who doesn't know. It goes like this. You have a bunch of dudes standing in an outfield wearing what looks like pajamas, kind of, right? Like they're not really, when you think about uniforms, they look the most like pajamas, right?
Okay.
Kind of, like 1920s pajamas. Sure. Because they're all like kind of weird.
Okay. Like tiny whities is what you're getting at here.
Exactly.
Okay.
And like the pitcher guy tries to throw the ball and the hitter guy tries to hit the ball and run around the bases and basically all the people in the outfield try to get him out. That's sort of it. You get 3 outs and you're done. You play 9 innings. It's really simple. That is baseball. That is not romantic at all. Okay. Now we're going to go.
Just the basics.
That's the basics.
Okay.
Any questions about anything? Or you think we need to explain anything to anybody?
No.
We can start?
Yeah.
All right.
9 innings, get up in the 7th, get to sing a song.
That's one of the reasons it's romantic.
No.
Yes.
Oh, goodness.
Well, just wait. Just you wait. Okay. Can I start?
Yes. Yeah,
okay. First one. Here we go. Baseball is romantic because of all the stuff that happens when nothing is happening. Oh, my God. Why are you laughing at me? Why are you laughing
at me? It's romantic.
When nothing's happening. Yes. Here's my argument. Okay. Baseball and cricket too, whatever. We're just going to talk about baseball. Is like the only major league sport in the world where the defense controls the ball the entire time, not the offense. Okay. So think about that for a second.
That's true.
Football, the offense has the ball. Basketball, soccer, right? Whatever. Okay. We're conditioned to believe whoever has the ball can score the goal or win the game.
Okay.
In baseball, it's opposite. So pitcher has the ball, right? He's on defense, which means the batter, the guy who's technically on offense, is supposed to create something to happen.
Right.
But he's reacting the whole time.
To pitch.
Yes,
okay.
Fair. So the batter is literally trying to make a split second decision with a ball flying at him, I don't know, 100 miles an hour, 90 miles an hour. Okay. And the pitcher is trying to like lie to him the whole time, try to throw him off, try to freak him out. I mean, they're playing mind games with each other, which is, I understand, the pitcher's entire job. But if you ever watch this shit, it's like absolutely nuts because when they slow down the ball and you actually see this, right? On TV, like fastballs look like curveballs, curveballs look like fastballs. They're like some are going in, some are going out, right? And the batter's trying to make all this make sense. It's like a standoff. They're 60 feet apart from each other. Do you remember like showdown at the OK Corral when they used to have like shoot, like Raymond Burr and Alexander Hamilton, when they used to have duels?
Yes.
It is absolutely built
to be like
a duel.
I'm not going to lie. I will give you that one. That does make it a little, like you romanticized it a little bit, back to history.
Absolutely. Okay. Because if you take that, think about it, go a bit further with it. Think about the way you talk about baseball. You don't say stuff like, oh, that was a fastball, right? They're like, the pitcher got in his head.
Fair.
Like, yeah, it's like they have their own language, right? Oh, he was sitting on that pitch. They're talking about the emotions behind what's going on during the pitching. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's like the strategy becomes the story. The strategy becomes, what does the pitcher think the batter is going to do? What does the batter think the pitcher is going to do? What does the batter think the pitcher thinks the batter is going to do? They like go back and forth and back and forth. And
it's more of a mental warfare game than it really is just throwing a pitch.
Yes. And as that goes on throughout the game, it gets more intense with each pitch because the defense is controlling the ball. Every pitch builds up and matters more all the way up through the end of the game. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So like I see a thread of romance. However,
It's
more about like the pitching and like how it's like a throwback or a tribute, right? Kind of to dueling, and I get the mental warfare of
it's tension. The word is tension. The word is drama. The word is like what is the word? Anticipation. Anticipation is romance. Like that's it. It's not about the moment the batter hits the ball. It's about the moment that hangs right there before it. The one split second before it, when the entire place, 60,000 people, are quiet and they're waiting to see if the batter guesses right or if the pitcher guesses right. And that moment of anticipation is literally the most romantic thing on the planet. How can it not be? It's like it's the moment before a kiss. It's the same moment. It's like, why are you laughing? It's like that whole buildup of how cool it is.
I can kind of get on board with that.
Oh my goodness.
It's interesting. I can acknowledge this tension of it being romantic.
Tension is romance. That's how do they make movies?
I get it. Fine. You were right. Okay. I'll give you that. But besides just that moment, what else is there that makes baseball romantic?
That's it. That's all I have.
It's just the tension.
No, not even. I had like four or five. Okay.
You did say that.
We're going to number two. Here we go. Ready?
Ready.
Okay. I'm going to throw you off. Ambiance.
It is hot and sweaty and you're sitting next to somebody and you're rubbing elbows and there's a drunk guy throwing his beer. I don't know.
It's because you live in Southern California. Bear with me here. It's a literal ballpark. It's a park. They name it a park.
I don't go play on a swing set.
No, but it's the same concept. It's open air. The setting. Okay. This is probably one of the best settings that you could think of going to. I don't know.
Soccer matches are outside in the open air.
Not even close. Not even the same at all. Soccer, football, like theoretically, yes. Like I get what you're saying, but those are designed to focus on the sport itself.
Okay.
Bright lights. They have the Jumbotron. It's loud. You can have a seizure like looking at all the things that change in a football game.
Okay.
Okay. Baseball, wide open, like sky in front of you, beautiful, like sunset, stars coming out, lights going on, but not crazy bright. Nice and slow, they turn on everything. It's like you're on the Titanic with Kate Winslet and what's his name? Jack. Leo, my boy Leo. The setting and the ambiance of that whole thing, that the vibe, it's the vibe of summer. You go to the ballpark.
But is that more than just being nostalgic than it is the actual atmosphere?
Fine. Call it what you will. I'll use ambiance. I'll use nostalgia. You are going to a baseball game, in most cases, to experience the park and the ambiance. And it's like a baseball game just happened to break out. When you go to a football game, you go to a soccer game, hockey game, basketball game, all those, you go for the sport. You know what you're going for. A baseball game's a little different. You're going with the person sitting Amanda. You end up chatting with the people sitting next to you. You end up chatting with your kids. You end up like...
Because there's so much downtime.
That's the romantic part.
It forces you to have interaction.
The conversations that you wouldn't otherwise have. Also, fun fact about baseball stadiums that I don't know if you know. Do you know that no baseball stadium is the same? Like in the United States, none of them are designed the same. Like the infield's the same, right? Like the bases are all 90 feet apart from each other.
Yeah.
But like all the outfield, everything else, totally different. All the other, like soccer stadiums, basketball, all those, they're all the same. You can go mostly all the same. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I know some are domes and stuff. Right. This is like the Green Monster, Fenway Park. It's like crazy, right? It has a huge, massive ball.
But that's why it's a thing for people to like go to every ballpark.
Oh, really? Oh, would you argue that's romantic to go to every ballpark? Because it's interesting to see them all. Oracle Park, right? The splash zone where they knock it out of the park and it hits the San Francisco Bay as the light sun's going down.
I didn't know that, but like, that sounds cool.
You just fed into... The whole reason people want to go around the United States to see baseball games, they don't do that with other sports.
You're right.
And that, I'm arguing, is the second reason why this is romantic.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
So the setting.
You are so coming to the dark side.
I can kind of give that to you.
Can I just, can for a moment, the Angel game. When was the last year you went?
Yeah.
What time you get there? Usually game what? Game time 7 o'clock.
Yeah. So like a little, just a little before.
Right? Sun's sort of still out. Some people are in the sun. Some people are in the shade already. You're bitching for like 30 minutes. Soon as that sun goes down, you start chilling out. The lights start coming on super slowly. You don't even know when it gets dark when you're sitting at a baseball. Look, the next time you go, you don't even know. Okay. Literally, you look up and the sun is setting. And then magically, the stars come out and you're sitting under the stars in the middle of summer.
I think you missed your calling as a romance novelist.
I'm telling you, it's set up that way on purpose.
Okay.
Right? And that's when you want to start making out with Gabby. Because that's the best part. Okay. Oh, my God. I just miss her. Okay? Leave me alone.
I'm not knocking.
And maybe this is a little nostalgic for me right now.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I'm having a little bit of a moment. I don't know if this is my third one or if this is like still part of, I'm going to say this is still part of ambiance because I still got other ones. If you think about it, that whole concept like mirrors life. Like it's like the whole thing that you're talking about. Oh my God, it's because there's so much downtime and it's so boring. Think about life for a minute, right? Like,
we're getting deep here.
Yeah, we are. But like, think about it. In like 3 hours, everything about life is not fun. You grind. There are boring parts of life. There is shit that's happening. There is tough conversations you're having. There's times when you're like, oh my God, I want to kill myself. Oh my God, I got to eat dinner, whatever it is. And then all of a sudden you have a magic moment in your life. Your child's born. You and Trent get married. You get the job you want, like whatever, something massive happens and you're like, it's like a home run or it's like a strikeout or it's like crazy. And so life, right, has these crazy periods of downtime and then these like really cool moments of anticipation. And baseball is designed the exact same way and it copies it in like a 3 hour period. You're sitting around, you're chatting with the guy next to you. All of a sudden, wham, home run, everybody's up. He's your best friend. You're high-fiving him. You got your arm around a guy you don't even know because you're super excited, right? And then all of a sudden you're back and you're like, oh, I'm back in my chair. I'm eating my peanuts. I'm talking to my kid.
Okay.
It mirrors life.
Okay. I'll give you that one.
That
was a good one.
That was an extra. I just threw in an extra one for you.
That was a good one.
All right, fine.
Wow. You're mildly convincing me here.
There we go. I like that.
Okay. You said you had like 4 or 5. So that was 2. You gave an extra.
That
2.5.
Yeah. Okay. Right, 2.5.
So then number three.
Are you ready?
Yeah. I'm going to see how long this can go because I feel like you're going to strike out pretty soon.
Oh, I like where you're going. I'm sorry. Did you just besmirch me?
No, I besmirched you.
There it is. Done and done. She did it. Jericho. You jerk store. The third reason, it doesn't have a clock. No clocky. No ticky-tocky.
Okay. So why is that romantic?
I don't know, Amanda. Do you time your sex? I don't time it. I don't know about you. How is it not romantic? Right? You know, a clock times your life. That's bullshit. Nobody wants a clock in their life. So, I mean, I know they added the pitch clock and everything, which, by the way, I would argue is 10 out of 10 amazing. Thank God they added the pitch clock. But in general...
You like a clock, but you don't like a clock.
I like the pitch clock. I hate other games where... first of all, I love soccer because the referee keeps the time. A lot of people bitch about this. The referee keeps the time, so you don't quite know when it's going to end. I love that anticipation. Mm. I hate football. I hate basketball. They control the clock. They foul. They stop the clock. Timeout. It is so fucking boring.
Mm.
Right. So my point about baseball, you have to win the game by getting the last outs.
Yeah.
So by default, there's always a chance.
Mm.
There's it is the comeback story of the century. Always.
It gives the underdog
always,
a moment.
Times 10. So I know other sports. I know there's been comebacks. I know there's huge that the miracle on ice. And like, there's so many things you could talk about comeback. But with baseball, it's times 10.
Okay.
It's so much better because of that concept of you're never at like, when you're a little kid, that's all you think about. Okay. You're like playing baseball in the park. And it's like, okay, there's 2 outs. There's 2 strikes. There's 2 men on base. The 3 men. Like,
there is
up to
the pinnacle moment.
Right. Where you're always trying to hit that. And then Amanda, oh my God. I know that you're an Angel fan, but the Dodgers, when they just won the World Series, and it comes down to the 11th inning, game 7. Are you kidding me? It was like, no other sport. You watch the Super Bowl?
Okay.
The Super Bowl sucked. But you watch baseball, and you know that there's always that chance. And that chance, I am telling you, Amanda, it's why I'm not going to lie, I get a little tingly down there. You know what I mean? Like it happens. Okay? It's kind of a big deal. No clock. Yes to pitch clock.
It is a big deal in your old age.
That was so besmirching. That was so good. Oh my God, that was probably your best one. Look, you made me like laugh out loud. Oh my God, that was good. Okay, are you ready, number 4?
Yeah.
Can I? Okay.
I'll give you that one. That was good.
I'm going. Okay, got some momentum here. I'm hitting number 4 here. Okay. baseball is built around failure. No other sport is built around failure. Think about it. Best hitters in baseball hit what? 300?
Yes.
Like 3 out of 10?
Sure, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Right. Like, you're a good hitter. 275. Like, seriously. That's like 30%.
Okay.
Right? If we did 30% at work, or we did 30% in life, we'd get fired.
Yeah, so make it sound like baseball's a half-ass sport.
No. What I'm telling you is it is the whole idea of like, oh my God, pick yourself up by your bootstraps and get in there and try again no matter what. When life kicks you in the teeth, you have to get back in the batter's box every time. And you know you're going to miss the ball 8 out of 10 times.
Okay.
And you still have to get in there.
So you're saying it's a game of resilience.
It is absolutely a game. Like, why shouldn't we do that in life? I got kicked in the teeth. I lost my parents. I lost my wife. Like, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Not get back in the batter's box? What would you argue I should do? You would look at me absolutely and say, get back in the batter's box every day. Wake up and do it. You'd say, do it for me. You'd say, do it for my kids. You'd say, do it for whatever.
Fair.
Absolutely. That's not romantic? That's totally romantic.
Okay, you're kind of winning. Okay.
Okay,
all
thank
right.
you.
All
I like
right.
this.
Oh, no. Here's our last one.
Last one.
My last opportunity for you to fail.
This is
25%, right?
No, I got this. I got that. I feel like this is good. Like, I can tell. Like, you're getting into this.
I've come around.
Save the best for last. You know how I roll. This is it.
Okay.
Back to nostalgia.
I eat peanuts and crush them and throw them on the floor.
No.
Sunflower seeds.
Have you ever noticed, like, when people talk about baseball, they're not actually ever really talking about baseball?
What are you talking about?
Like, usually in every story anybody tells you about another sport, they're telling you the specific thing that happened in the sport. Oh my God, did you see that play? Did you see that thing?
Okay, fair.
With baseball is always the backdrop to the story. They're always telling you something that happened while baseball was going on in the background. So back to nostalgia, back to memories. They're telling you how, oh my God, my dad used to take me to the games and I used to feel this way. Or they would say things like, oh,
tell me it's a sissy Lala sport is what you're
no,
telling
me. No, I'm not. No, not at all. But I would listen on the, like on the ride home, I would fall asleep in the car and the game with the ninth inning would still be on and I'd be trying to listen before
okay.
I fell asleep in the car. Right? For me, it was always like game on, not at the ballpark, but game on the television. My dad in his stupid green chair falling asleep and like the numbing sound of the game. And I was just, I felt safe in some, like
okay.
it was summertime and I just felt safe. My point is, normally you don't hear people talking about the game. You hear people telling a story about how it made them feel at a time in their life that they wish they could go back to, which is nostalgia, which is the whole reason I started this damn episode in the first place. And when you think about baseball right now, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking about being really excited to see an Angel game? Or are you thinking about going to the Angel game with your daughters and having a night at the park? Just tell me, what are you thinking?
You may or may not be right.
Whoa. No, now I want to know. What do you got? What is it?
No, you're like, the baseball game makes it exciting. We do pay attention. They learn about, you know, the game and the sport and
totally.
They love it. But yes, if you were to ask, I even think the kids, what's the best part about baseball? It would be going to the stadium, cracking, you know, my peanuts and
yes.
getting thrown on the floor and being with mom and dad.
Bingo.
Yeah. Okay.
Like it or not. And all I know, right. and maybe the word all romantic right. isn't awesome when it comes to like kids and parents, but yes, I'm using the word romantic and like, it's just, it's a freaking love story. I don't care if it's between a man and a woman, a grandparents and grandchildren, a husband and wife,
there's
children.
It's a special moment in time that you don't get at any other sporting
no.
event.
And then when you look back in your life, you always think about those special moments.
So really
and
what you're saying is everyone needs to go to a baseball game.
Oh my God.
You need to experience it once.
Hells yeah, you do. Absolutely.
That was really sweet. Okay.
Thank you.
You win.
So much.
Wow. Look at you.
And you only besmirched me twice.
Twice.
2 times. Let's go.
So who's counting?
I'm always counting.
Clearly.
Yes.
Okay. You gave me one fun fact in that whole episode. Are there any more?
There's a lot.
A lot?
Yeah.
About baseball or about like romantic?
I'm going to do romantic fun facts.
What? I don't even know how this is going to work.
It's going to work fine. Like, just chill out. Just trust me.
Okay.
Okay. I got a little bit of everything. I got a little bit of everything.
Okay, go ahead.
Everything's built in.
Sprinkle some.
Okay, here we go. Number one. Did you know the whole reason we started singing the national anthem at every sporting event in the world?
It was mandated.
No, it's because of a baseball game. I think we had this one once before. I think I remember this fun fact. Yeah. It was in the 1918 World Series in Chicago in the middle of World War I. A military band played the Star Spangled Banner during the 7th inning stretch. And there just happened to be like a bunch of soldiers that were in the stands at that day, and the music started playing and the stadium stood up and like honored the military soldiers. And then ever since then, like literally the next day they did it again, the next day they did it again. And ever since then they played the Star-Spangled Banner and it went to all the stadiums in baseball and then all the different sports in the United States. And there you go.
All right.
Star-Spangled Banner.
That's a little romantic. Okay.
Number two. Remember the seventh inning stretch thing you talked about earlier?
Yeah.
We all get up?
Yeah, because it was so long.
Oh, take me out. That's what she said. Okay, here's where it comes from. 1910, then-President William Howard Taft. Apparently, he was at a game in Washington, and he got tired of sitting, and he was a...
Larger man, okay.
Big president. I don't want to besmirch, but like he was a big president. Yeah. And so when he stood up to stretch his legs... Everybody else stood up because they were like, the president of the United States is standing up right now. And subsequently,
history was written.
It just stuck.
Okay.
Here we go. Huh. After that, everybody started standing up in the seventh inning.
Okay.
And how is that? Like literally you sing, like we all sing. We sing together like that. I know it sounds like super cheesy, but that's also another one. Like, take me out to the
You're right. It's very iconic. And
like, that's also part of the romance. Yeah. Like, we all can be goofy together and it's totally okay. All right. Okay. All right. Sorry. Back on track. Number three. Okay. The whole ambiance setting thing we were talking about. Do you know there's actually a guideline in baseball? I think I talked about it a little earlier where like the stadium has to face.
Right.
So the sun's not in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess architects, every time they design a new stadium, home plate is supposed to point east, northeast so that it keeps the sun out of the batter's eyes. So most parks are designed, the sun will set in the stands behind instead of directly over the pitcher's shoulder, which I think is awesome. But also, that probably makes it easier for the batter. And I think it's bullshit because like we should probably make shit harder for the batter sometimes. Well, I guess no.
Because that's the only moment of offense.
Yeah. And they only hit the damn ball 25% of the time anyway. Okay.
Here we go. All
right. Number four. Okay, here's a good one. Ever wonder why the hot dog got so popular? Like, why the hot dog at baseball games? Like, why not something else?
Well,
right?
It's like processed meat, right? World War One or Two, and
ooh, I like this
spam and hot dogs. I don't know.
You're kind of onto something. You got the through line there. Yeah. So back in the 1800s, they needed something cheap, fast, and easy to carry through the stands that didn't need silverware or a plate.
Yeah.
And so here we are. Hot dogs were born. They were already cooked. Throw them one hand. Hey, got your hot dog. Yeah, right. Absolutely. That's totally cool. Now you go to Angel. I still like hot dogs. Like at Angel Stadium, I'll still eat them. But like, you can get filet mignon.
I get the seasonal bougie stuff. Yep, Let's go.
Yeah, right. You get it. Escargot. Like you name it, right? Like, my kids will walk around the entire stadium to get one. Dad, I'm going to go over there. I'm like, two hot dogs, please. Thank you very much. All right. I'm so old.
It's the only time that hot dogs are appropriate.
Right? All right. Number five. Okay. So the phrase that came out of left field.
Obviously course, baseball.
Duh. But do you know why? That's what I'm going
with. Because it came out of left field.
Okay, so in some early ballparks, the left side of the field was always positioned next to like a busy street or like a public area. So during games, weird things would occasionally get thrown onto the field. Yeah, and players would be like, what the hell? That just came out of left field.
That's
how the whole thing started. They had to like throw shit back over the fence.
Know.
Right, because it was just like people were just throwing their trash and shit. Huh. Like, whatever. Talk about Americans. Okay, and finally, I saved the best one for last. Of course, this is going to bring the whole romance thing home. Okay. Baseball stadiums are one of the most common places in America for public marriage proposals. Thank you very much.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. Did you know teams have their own department that handles marriage proposals?
I did not.
Yes. Some parks even have what's called proposal packages, where they'll obviously put the message on the big screen and so on and so forth. And like you get like a keepsake and all sorts of shit. Like you buy in advance whoever's going to do the proposing. I think that's amazing. Yeah. Of all the places people choose to get engaged, they choose baseball stadiums. Why, Amanda? Why? Maybe because it's romantic. And maybe because they made out there. And maybe that's where they fell in love.
Okay. Maybe it was like a slow burn.
Mike,
you got
drop.
It. You got
done.
It. It's a slow burn. We get it.
America's Sports. True love story.
Like, yeah, I guess so.
Done. I win.
Okay. All right. Well, it's evidently not just about eating snacks and going and watching people get struck out or hitting a home run.
I didn't strike out.
But evidently, I guess it's a metaphor for your relationship, right?
Thank you. So it's a metaphor for life. Win. I already, that was like
right.
Number four.
You're right. You win. I did not see it coming. I was totally thinking you were full of hot air today.
Here's what we're going to do.
But
you and I are, just you and I mean, bring the kids.
We'll
go to the baseball game. We're going to hang out at least one time this summer, and it's going to be glorious. We're not picking a day game. We're picking a night game.
Okay.
And it's going to be awesome. Fair. And we are going
to... So not Sundays.
Right. I'm going to point all this crap out to you, and then in 2 seconds, you're going to turn to Trent.
You're all dreamy-eyed.
I'm going to be dreamy-eyed. You're going to turn to Trent and start macking down. It's going to be glorious. Kids are going to be like, what's mommy and daddy doing? I'm going to be like, come over here. Kiddos, get over here. Get over here, Uncle Pete. All right, sorry. Wrap this sucker up. What are we doing?
I don't know. You're going to tell me, I guess. If anybody wants to learn a little more about why baseball is romantic, should they watch a movie? Besides going and experiencing it?
Well, obviously go experience it, just like me and Amanda are going to do, of course, because you got to like let summer like unfold in front of you. Yes, do that. But, dude, there's like a lot of baseball movies you could watch, right? Bull Durham. Like
Sandlot.
One of my Sandlot. Field of Dreams. I love Sandlot. Moneyball. Brad Pitt even says it in Moneyball. He goes, how can baseball not be romantic? That's probably one of the best.
And that, everybody, is where this episode came from, evidently.
No, I just realized.
Core memory.
Right,
of.
Right. Deep core. Yes, absolutely deep core memory. Did you see that movie?
Nah, probably. I don't know.
It was about he was the general manager, Billy Bean, whatever. Real guy, based on a true story, of the Oakland A's. And they didn't have payroll. They had a shitty payroll. I mean, they're going up against the Yankees and the Dodgers and all these guys. And he created something, I think, called Sabermetrics. Okay. Basically, like figuring out all these analytics behind baseball. And the Oakland A's went on a 21-game win streak, blah, blah, blah. Ended up, I think, and I don't know if they won the pennant that year. I think they did. Anyway, it was crazy. Huh. Please go back and watch. Okay. And it's Brad Pitt. I mean, Brad Pitt's amazing. Okay. That's kind of all. Like, no, there's nothing. What? Go watch a baseball game. Go watch a baseball movie. Done and done.
Okay.
Okay.
Check,
and
check.
Then, you know, if you don't want to do any of these things, just
remember. What do I need to remember?
Yes. To be sort of sophisticated? Okay.
What do I need to remember to be able to convince people that baseball's romantic?
Okay. Are you ready for this? Here we go. Baseball feels different from most other sports because it's one of the very few sports where the defense actually controls the ball. The pitcher starts every moment, which turns every pitch into a psychological duel between the pitcher and the batter instead of just physical play like other sports. Number two, baseball stadiums are designed to feel like summer evenings. Most games start in the daylight and end under the stadium lights, which means the atmosphere literally changes as the game unfolds. Number three, unlike almost every other sport, baseball does not run on a clock. The game only ends when the final out is made, which means there's always a possibility of a comeback, which is absolutely the most romantic thing ever. Number four, baseball is built around failure. Even the greatest hitters in history only succeed about 30% of the time, which means the entire sport is about resilience and getting up again after you miss, just like the story of life. And finally, the reason people love baseball isn't because of the game itself. It's all the memories that come attached to it. For most fans, the sport is just a backdrop to stories about family or childhood or summer nights under soft lights and the people who they choose to watch it with. And that's all you need to remember to be sort of sophisticated.
Well, there you have it, dear listeners, our deep dive into why baseball might secretly be the most romantic sport in America. Not because of the score or the stats, but because of everything happening around the game. The tension, the memories, and those little moments where time feels like it slows down just long enough to hear your own heartbeat. If we did our job right today, you're walking away a little more sophisticated and maybe seeing baseball a little differently. Not just as a sport, but as a story that unfolds slowly and where the drama lives in the anticipation and the moments that surprise you. As always, if you like this episode, hit subscribe, leave a review, and share it with one friend who says baseball is boring.
Like you did before. Yeah.
You can explain to them why they're actually missing the whole point.
Wow, coming from you, that's kind of a big deal.
So until next time, stay curious, stay patient, and remember, sometimes the most interesting stories aren't the fast ones. They're the ones that take their time to develop.